This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Our draft coverage continues. One of the most exciting drafts we've had in a while, with the Cowboys picking 12th. And joining us now is a friend of the show from several years ago. This might go back a decade now. Dane Brugler from The Athletic, at DP Brugler on Twitter, if you want to follow him and get access to his content. Dane, how the hell are you? Thanks for joining us.
It is. It's very good to hear your voice. It's. I think you're right. It's been about a decade where I've been coming on talking about draft, and so it's been fun, and happy to be on with you guys again.
It's great to have you. And let's start with the player at the top of a lot of fans' minds there in Ashton Jeanty. Do you think that would be the right use of that pick at 12?
It's certainly debatable. I don't think that's the answer to that question is not a right or wrong answer. There's plenty of reasons why you can make the case that Ashton Jeanty should be the pick. And there's some, ways that you can look at it from a different perspective and say, you know, we're better suited building up the roster at some of these other spots. And because this is a deep running back class, let's wait to the second round, third round, fourth round. And we still feel comfortable with the guy we're going to get at that point at the running back position. But, you're not going to feel regret drafting a talent like Ashton Jeanty at number 12. He's so talented running the ball, catching the ball, blocking. He can do everything. It'll be interesting to see how he tests next week at the combine. I don't think he's going to be some superstar Saquon Barkley necessarily, but he should test well. He should be, what you would expect from a guy you're considering drafting in the first round. And above all, it's, the character's off the charts. This is a guy that you talk to the high school coaches, you talk to his college coaches, and he had all types of offers this past offseason to go play for a team in the SEC, a team in the Big Ten. Upwards of, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that he turned down in order to go back to Boise State, because that's the program that believed in him coming out of Lone Star High School. So, there's a lot of reasons why you can look at Ashton Jeanty and say, man, this is a guy we want in our building, want on our roster, the way he can impact everybody around us. So I certainly think it's something that the Cowboys will be talking about extensively as they build that board.
You know, my concern at 12, after listening to Brian break it down for months now already, is, the potential of a high-risk, high-reward player at 12 and missing on the third round basically for 3 years in a row would be tough to overcome. Are there other players beyond Jeanty who you feel like are likely to be there and are almost as close to a sure thing as you can get?
Just talking about at any position?
Yeah.
This is a weird draft because at the top you have your Travis Hunters, your Abdul Carters. I think those are the top two guys in this draft. And then between, I would say, 3 and 12, I think is the next tier. And so, ironically, the Cowboys picking at 12 I think that they're in a spot where they should feel comfortable getting somebody from that second tier of players in this class, whether that ends up being Mason Graham from Michigan, a defensive tackle. You know, could he make it to 12? I know a lot of people don't think that he will, but, you know, he might get beat up next week at the combine because his arms aren't going to be super long. He's not going to be the best tester out there. The tape is phenomenal, but Mason Graham might not be one of those guys that is super traitsy, even though I think he belongs in the top five of this draft. You could look at a few of these defensive linemen, whether that's Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. Now, you talk about bust potential. He certainly has that, but Shamar Stewart is going to put on a show next week in Indianapolis. The guy's 280 pounds, and he might run in the 4.5s. That's how different this guy is. So, you know, offensive linemen, Will Campbell from LSU, Armon Membu from Missouri. It's an interesting draft because of the way things play out. One of the guys that I think will be on the Cowboys' radar who has a lot at stake at the combine is Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, who I think could be in play there at number 12. The tape was really good in 2023. This past year, he was banged up quite a bit, got beat a few times. The question will be just the pure speed. And I think the jumps will look good at the combine. I think the agility will look good at the combine. But what's the 40-yard dash? We know the combine or the cornerback position is a stopwatch position. And so will he be able to run a sub 4.45 in the 40-yard dash? And that's even if he chooses to run. We might not see Will Johnson run a 40-yard dash ever again, which I think would be a tell that, hey, those numbers aren't where he wants them to be to put a definitive number on paper for scouts.
I love the idea of the Cowboys taking a corner at 12. You mentioned Will Johnson, corner out of Michigan. How much better do you think he is than, say, Texas's Jahdae Barron?
Well, I think they're two different, you know, just like with receivers, you know, you've got inside receivers, outside receivers, right? And with Barron, he played a little bit of everything in that Texas secondary, inside, outside, played some safety, played some in the box. But I think that his profile, the way that he's built, the way that he plays, teams are going to look at him as an inside player. You know, he's like some teams have strict size thresholds in terms of length. He might be under 30-inch arms. And for a lot of teams, that's automatic X for an outside cornerback spot. So now on the inside, that might be a little bit different. So I like Jahdae Barron. I'm just not as nearly as high as some other people and talking about him as high as the top 15. I like Jahdae Barron into the first round, into the second round. I think, you know, he might get beat up a little bit just because the physical traits, even though the tape is good, the versatility is good, the physical traits aren't exactly what a lot of teams look for at the position.
Dane, it's good to hear your voice again. The wide receiver room, and I was watching Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft with some interest because of his, you know, him being a former NFL scout and the connections he has. He had Tet McMillan getting all the way down to 19 to Tampa Bay. Is he telling us something that we don't know talking to teams? Because it always seems like that McMillan would be a guy that everybody's talking about potentially in the top eight. As far as the first wide receiver off the board, but he gets him all the way to 19. Is there something we're missing there?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just the nature of this draft. Last year was pretty easy with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, but even a talent like Brian Thomas Jr. fell all the way to the 20s,
sure.
You know, which was a little surprising on draft day. So with a guy like with Tet McMillan, it'll be interesting to see what he runs next week at the combine, what his 40 is, because that vertical speed is kind of the question mark, right? Mm-hmm. He's a guy that is super loose. He's limber. He's a ball winner. He's almost like a Gumby-ish version of a T. Higgins,
sure.
Where speed's not exactly the reason you're drafting him, but you want to at least see a 4.52 number or something better than that just to kind of check that box and say, okay, well, he's not a burner, but he's not slow either. So I think there's going to be a lot of teams in the top 15 that I think are going to look at the trenches and say, let's get our offensive linemen, let's get our defensive linemen, and maybe, you know, pass on a few of these receivers. But McMillan's got a wide range. He could go as early as 5.
Right.
He could fall, you know, into the early 20s. I don't think it's a huge shock just because of the nature of this draft. It's just a really unique class this year.
Dane, I know on my board there's three guys that have injuries that I really, really, the tape is good. When you talk about Josh Simmons from Ohio State, the tackle, Revell, the East Carolina cornerback, and then also, too, Benjamin Morrison, the cornerback from Notre Dame. How do you navigate those guys?
Yeah, and that's why the combine exists, right? So we can get these guys, get the exact medical info, and it's a big step in their evaluation, especially a guy like Josh Simmons, who, based on tape, he's a top 10 pick, right?
I mean, absolutely.
In October, he looked like he was going to be OT1, and then he had the non-contact knee injury, the patella. What does it look like at the combine in terms of his rehab, recovery? What's the prognosis long-term? Any long-term effects that teams should be worried about? And, you know, I mean, Brian, I know you know this, but just, you know, for the listeners, with the medicals, you know, a lot of teams, they do it differently, but some teams, they do it with the numbering system. So if you're if the team doctor gives you a 1 or a 2, you're in good shape. 3, okay, borderline, but you're probably okay. If you're a 4 or 5, you're probably off the board.
Yeah.
And so, you know, teams are going to look at these injuries and kind of gauge their interest. Every team's different with the risk. And, you know, just like scouts, medical professionals give different opinions about how they view certain things, especially a serious knee injury like a patella. But I'm told that he's right now, he's ahead of course, you know, he's ahead of where he's, you know, was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And the plan is to for him to have a personal pro day in April so he can work out for NFL teams before the draft. That's the plan right now. So that'll be interesting. And then, yeah, you mentioned the two corners, Siobhan Revell. And actually, I've got a phone call with him tonight just to kind of check in with them, see where he's at. But he's a super freaky guy. It's a bummer we don't get a chance to see him work out at the combine because of the ACL. But he's a guy that's overcome a lot. I think that he's still going to be in that top 35, top 40 mix as long as the ACL checks out okay. And then Benjamin Morrison's a little more complicated. This is actually his second hip surgery, lateral tear. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a corner that's not even 22 years old yet and is already on a second hip surgery. It's a little unique, you know, not something you hear about very often. So what the medical feedback is on Morrison will be huge to ultimately where he ends up being drafted.
Yeah, and I'll follow up with that. And I'm kind of thinking about 44, you know, where the Cowboys are. Is a possibility that one of or these three guys could all be, because of medical issues, be there where Dallas picks in the second round?
Yeah, I mean, back to the Dallas special, right? That second round where you kind of take that risk, that Jalen Smith. And, yeah, you know, it's always worrisome because if a guy like Josh Simmons makes it to you at 44, man, that's teams pretty – they must be scared off because the talent, again, it's top 10. So, you know, but that's why you pay your medical team, the trainers, all that money, because that's you trust their opinion and you don't deviate from that. It's not like – you know, you don't go get another second opinion. You trust your team doctor, your team physician, and all the trainers to come up with a grade on the player. And if they say, like, yeah, there might be a little bit of risk, but we feel okay drafting the player, then okay, that's what you go with. That's how you build your board. And so it'll be interesting. I would be surprised if Simmons made it that far. I really would, just because there's too much talent and teams need offensive line help. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, knowing the rest of the league and their luck, the Chiefs will fall into them at 31 and, you know, they'll be set at left tackle for the next 10 years. But Benjamin Morrison and Revell, I think those two guys would be possibilities there. I think it is a possibility that both those players could be available at 44.
How do you handicap the defensive tackle group? And I'm kind of talking about the one techniques here. You know, you mentioned, you know, Graham could probably play the 1 or the 3, but how about Grant and Williams from Ohio State, Harmon from Oregon? How do you look at those guys as far as where do you think they might go? That's something that Dallas is clearly going to look at, probably even a 3 technique if Oso Digizua doesn't resign.
Right. And so if no Odighizuwa, then you look at, okay, who's the best penetrator as a 3? And I mean, Walter Nolan's probably the answer. You know, he has really disruptive qualities. He can win at the snap. The tape is a little bit up and down.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, would you think that's early at 12 for him?
I think it's way early. And the way you described it, I was really kind of nervous about that. But I believe in that room, they really don't care what you and I think. You know, we're going to do our work, but they're, I feel like that they like Walter Nolan a lot better. The fact that Daniel Jeremiah had him at 12 made me think, like, all the players he could have taken for Dallas, he put Walter Nolan there at 12. And I think a lot of people think that's rich, but he's probably got that from somebody that, that, you know, hey, we really do like this guy.
Well, and I think that, you know, the exact way that you set it up, you know, Diggy Zua, if he moves on, all of a sudden, sure, you know, they really need to find an answer there. And so I do think that theoretically it matches up. Nolan's also a guy that, you know, teams have to be comfortable with. You know, we mentioned the medicals at the combine, the character and the interview stuff. That's right, a big part of it. And Nolan's a guy that, you know, not everybody at Texas A&M talks glowingly about his time there. Now, the feedback from Ole Miss, a little bit better, but, you know, still something that teams are doing extra homework on. Kenneth Grant could be in that mix. He's a guy that is 350 pounds, but he can move. I mean, the combine should be fun watching him work out. He could be in that mix. I like Tyreek Williams a lot as a borderline first-round guy. He against a run, he is just outstanding. But the strength of this defensive line class is just the depth. You know, you talk about Alfred Collins from Texas in round two, Shamar Turner from A&M, Darius Alexander, Toledo, and we can go on with the amount of defensive line talent that I think the Cowboys would be able to find at 44 as well.
It's Dane Brugler here of The Athletic with you in the G-Bag Nation. Do you think Tyler Guyton's good enough at left tackle? Are you wanting to continue to develop him, or how urgent would your, you know, process be right now when it comes to how important that spot is on your line?
Yeah, and I think it's a question mark right now. But for those of us on the outside looking in, but then also, you know, just trying to get a feel for how the coaching staff feels. You know, obviously some new coaches, but some carryover. And so how do they look at the nature of the line, and do they feel like an upgrade is needed after just 1 year? Obviously, the Cowboys are a team that it's not like they drafted Tyler Guyton in the top 10. I mean, they traded back and still were able to get him where they did. So it wasn't like this was a perfect ready-made player out of the box. It was going to take some time, and there were certainly ups and downs on his rookie tape. So what's the feeling in the room about how much of a leash we're going to give him at left tackle before we say, all right, we need to go find some more competition? But, you know, offensive line depth is never a bad thing. So if you have a chance to go draft another tackle, it's not something that should be completely ignored, I don't think. And especially in a draft like this, where tackles, I think the tackle talent falls off pretty quickly. So if you want one, you almost have to take one at 12. And, you know, but there'll be some good candidates there. I mean, Will Campbell from LSU, we'll see if he gets out of the top 10. I love Membu from Missouri. To me, he's a guy that at 20 years old, you feel great about him at guard or tackle. And it's kind of like Guyton, where there's going to be some bumps along the way, but you feel great about him for the long term, really helping your offensive line, and he can do it in multiple spots. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways the Cowboys could go at 12, and I certainly think that offensive line is in that conversation.
Dane, in the last couple minutes we have you here, okay, I don't take Ginty at 12. I'm going to assume that Johnson, Hampton, potentially Henderson could be gone by 44. Could you give me a back that you like, or backs that you like, if, say, Ginty, Johnson, and Hampton and Henderson are all off the board, and you're probably looking at maybe a third-round situation?
So I feel like I'm higher on him than most, but I think Jordan James from Oregon is just one of the best running backs in this class. Like, he deserves to be talked about as, he made my top 50. Yeah. So I think that he could still be available in the third round. And if he is, I really like how he would fit what the Cowboys want to be. He's not a home run hitter, but man, he might lead the league in doubles. I mean, he is the type of guy that finds success on every run. Success might not look like an 80-yard run, but it might look like an 8-yard run.
Sure.
And that's the type of guys you want, who they consistently get more than what is blocked for him. So, and Jordan James does that consistently. He can catch a ball out of the backfield. I'm a big fan of his, and I think that when it's all said and done, when we look back at his draft class, we're going to say, man, Jordan James should have been drafted earlier.
What kind of a cooker are you throwing down your Texas barbecue on these days, Dane?
Man, I stick to I stick to my Texas roots, even though I'm not in Texas anymore. So it's a lot of beef, a lot of, you know, the black pepper and salt go heavy. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out my window right now at nothing but cold, but snow, about 6 inches of snow. So it's a little bit different in terms of what I can do and what I can get away with up here at this time of the year. But man, I'm looking forward to April and May when things really warm up and I can get back out there, get the brisket going. And so it's definitely a staple of my pre-draft prep once we get to April.
I become a beef short rib guy myself. The brisket's too much for the family. I know you know how that is.
Mm, yeah. Oh, no, that's do you do the rack or just the, yeah, the separate ribs?
No, those dino bone. Yeah, the separate ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are little morsels of heaven, right? Oh, I mean, you couldn't get them cooked right. Yeah. I think do you sauce them or just do seasoning?
Yeah, just season it. Wrap them after about four hours, and I find the morsels to be more consistently delicious as well. And it's, for whatever reason, they're harder to screw up than a brisket.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Absolutely. And I don't know, I know my grocer doesn't always carry them, but when I find them, I always grab them because they go quickly because I think the secret might be out on those things.
No doubt, dude. Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Dane. We'll be following your content at DP Brugler on Twitter. Dane Brugler, draft guru. Salute to you, sir, man. Have a great draft season.
You too. Take care, guys.
Cheers. We have notable cut candidates in the NFL. You want to go a little pre-shopping here for free agency?
Let's go.
Guys that might be hitting the street coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
On 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Segment's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Micah Parsons, very active on social this afternoon. He was asking for feedback on why his podcast gets so much hate. And then Mina Kimes, ESPN, tweeted, over the last two seasons, Micah ranks first in pressure rate, first in pass rush win rate, first in double teams. You don't build a roster for short or long term by moving on from players like that. Apparently, Chris Canty today on First Take was going back after that trade Micah Parsons type of deal. And Micah replied to that, you make too much sense. Yeah, I think you saw last year, this year clearly, how Micah Parsons can impact a defense. I couldn't imagine wanting to move on from him. I'm willing to listen to anything. Are you one of the worst teams in the NFL and offering me three number ones that could possibly be in the top 10? I'll listen to that. But you would have to come after me with something crazy. I remember what it was like in 2014 and 2016 when you had a team good enough, but you couldn't rush the passer. You couldn't force turnovers as a result. You couldn't get a big fourth quarter stop as a result, and that's why you end up, you know, losing those games to the Packers. Let's do this. Notable cut candidates in the NFL. All right, we're going to start here with the NFC. Some players that we're pretty familiar with, including one, Deebo Samuel. Does he still have anything in the tank? Should we be going after Deebo Samuel?
That would not be somebody, maybe as a one-year kind of deal. Maybe you could get a little bit more out of him. But I think big picture, Deebo Samuel's best days are behind him for sure. Just too physical of a player. He's been beat up like crazy.
Yeah, and he was right to demand maximum value extraction because of the way that they had him running the football for those couple of years. It really made him fall off like he was on a running back timeline. And this past year, just 3.2 yards per carry, Brian. If you look at reasons for Niner fall off, he might be the biggest one.
Yeah, I think what happened is the wear and tear just became too much.
Yeah.
You know, the way that they, you know, his, I don't think it was always just kind of running the football, but all of a sudden it was like he's catching the ball, he's getting hit, run after catch, he's getting hit in the shoulder.
Seeking contact at every turn.
I mean,
violent player.
Yeah, he was that type of guy. And Chief's right. The violence, I think, caught up with him. And so now you've got a player that can't protect himself like he once did. And you're probably going to see further injury that way, you know, trying to get him involved the way that he absolutely plays the best when they put the ball in his hands, whether it's in the backfield, in the slot, or on the outside.
Injuries are a common theme amongst these players on this list. Marshawn Lattimore in Washington is one of them, a corner. I do feel like the Cowboys need depth at corner. They need help at starting corner, whether that's bringing back Lewis, signing a guy like Jordan Lewis back, or going after and getting a player like Lattimore. I don't want injury-prone guys.
That's this guy. I mean, he's literally they trade for him, and he doesn't play for like the first month that he was there with the Commanders. We kind of laughed at the deal when they did it. They were trying to go all in. It felt like they needed a corner for sure, but that is a guy who is like the poster boy for missing games year in, year out. And then even when he did play, it was like A.J. Brown besting him in a huge way. I wouldn't have nothing to do with him.
Okay, now how about an older pass rusher and one of our favorites? We've had him on at Radio Row before. Cam Jordan has played 15 NFL seasons. He's likely to get let go as a salary cap casualty with the Saints. He's 35 years old, logged 6 total sacks over the past 2 seasons. Is he Dunsky?
I don't think he's Dunsky. No, I think he is. I think he's a solid player. He's not going to rip open a bunch of sacks for you necessarily, but I think he is still a really good player. And I don't know that he would want to remain in New Orleans anyways with the rebuild that they're about to go through, having a super young babyface coach. I think he wants to go to a real ready-made adult type organization. So I think he will be happy to get up out of there. And I would be interested in his services. I'm sure contending teams will as well.
Okay, how about we go to a wide receiver? This might be the way to get it done because you have so many needs. I do believe the Cowboys want to compete. Tyler Lockett's been one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL for a long time. He is 32 years old, declining for sure. Yeah. The Seahawks just can't afford his cap hit, which is a monster this year. Would that be a nice compliment to CeeDee Lamb still at this point in his career, Brian?
You know, I think every time you ever watch Tyler Lockett play, he finds a way to make plays. And so, yeah, I you know, as a compliment, I think that they need a little bit bigger, you know, to play opposite. So I would probably pass on him, but I just, like I say, he is going to get an opportunity with somebody because of his ability to go make plays. But I just feel like that Dallas needs a bigger bodied guy, maybe a bigger X to play opposite and allow CeeDee to move around a little more. So I would probably pass on that one.
Okay, we go to the next players here on the list. CBSSports.com cut candidates. We're inside the NFC right now. We go to Hotlanta, Atlanta, where you got 2 defensive tackles. Grady Jarrett, everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
David Onyemata is a high-paid defensive tackle as well, and he is looking at $8 million of savings if he is let go from Atlanta. So there's a couple of players down there that might be able to, you know, give you some help there in the middle of your defense. And I feel like if you're serious about stopping the run, you need to improve both defensive tackle spots and get a veteran linebacker.
Yeah, this is one of those things, though, when, you know, and Dane even talked about it a little bit, and Zach, myself, this defensive tackle draft is just so deep. And I know every time you hear me say draft, 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 but you know, that's a little bit of a younger, that's a little bit of a cheaper, that's a little bit of a, you know, the depth of these positions, and it's not just guys you're just kind of like, okay, you're hoping. They've got some legitimate defensive tackles, some ones, one techniques, some three techniques that you could, you know, throughout. I know that I've looked at, it just appears like that more one techniques than any other time of any other draft that I've had. So I'm excited about the opportunity. If you're going to address the interior of the defensive line, do it through the draft more so than try and resign somebody.
Guard Jonah Jackson signed for 3 years and $50 million with the Rams last offseason. Then he got hurt early. He played poorly after returning in week 10. That might be an option as a Zach Martin replacement. But how about we go up to Chicago, where a couple of veteran linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, are currently on the chopping block due to their $17 and $13 million cap hits that are scheduled. The Bears might make them cap casualties.
Yeah. These are guys I used to like. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds was a monster.
Yeah.
It was warranted the big free agent deal he got from the Bears a few years ago when they gave it to him, but these are guys that have now started to slip quite a bit. But that's where the Cowboys oftentimes like to, hey, there's continuity with Eberflus, and he's been good before. He'll probably come super cheap. He's already had the fatty boombox contract. Bring him in.
Yeah, and I like the strategy of former big-time player, super smart, great instincts, incredible, may have lost a step.
Yeah.
And the market seems to fall out on these guys where all of a sudden you're looking at an Eric Kendricks for an absolute steal.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to do that, it's going to be like what Mike Zimmer did, the familiarity with the players that maybe you can get them to come on board. I am all about evaluating every linebacker in free agency because I just don't see the depth at the position in the draft. I think you're going to have to address it and go about it that way.
James Bradbury, Darius Slay are on the chopping block in Philadelphia, two different corners. As obviously they had some young guys step up, and it might be time to transition out of, especially Bradbury. You know, I think that's a no-brainer right there if it's an either or. Miles Sanders, the running back, been around a long time. He's been the last couple of years in Carolina. He's pretty much toast, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Older gentleman. Taysom Hill, Saints tight end. I don't know. That seemed to be a Sean Payton special and maybe a contract that the next coach did not appreciate being
left
on his doorstep.
Maybe that's exactly where he ends up. Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Swiss Army knife in Denver.
That's funny. Noah Fant is likely a $9 million saving, 27-year-old tight end. He was a monster name as a first-round pick by the Broncos in 2019, but could never fulfill the potential. Would you like to take another shot on him? Was he a decent blocker, Brian?
He was. And when you watched him and play, I mean, he was one of those guys that when coming out of college of Iowa, man, he was when he'd get into somebody and you'd see him get driven, he'd drive guys off the screen. So, yeah, Noah Fant would be a guy that I would surely look at. If you're like I say, I think they really do like span forward. Your tight ends coach remains the same, so that hasn't changed. So I don't know if you'll see much in that. I think it's like the old, hey, that we like our guys bit. But if Dallas were to address that, I think maybe you would see it in the fifth round of this draft this year.
Okay, that's a free agent primer. It is going to be coming fast and furious next week. There will be days where there's going to be so many massive signings. Our heads will be spinning. We won't even have time to talk about all of them, but we will prioritize and talk about the biggest stories of the day breaking every day here in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys. All righty. Coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I got some questions for my guys. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's hockey time tonight, 7 o'clock, Four Nations final, USA and Canada right here on The Fan. We'll talk about that matchup and what you need to know going into this epic showdown coming up at 4 o'clock. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Thank you very much, Joe, and thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this. Lucius, I'm watching you do those reads, and it's kind of like I'm watching you conduct a symphony. Like, yeah. Lucius is an arms-moving-while-he's-reading guy.
Yeah. I'd rather be standing up, but my ass got too fat lately.
What are you snacking on in there, dude?
Pears.
Oh, trying to get regular?
Yeah. Well, I'm already trying to keep it regular.
Stay,
you know?
Regular.
Is that the fiber? Is that the way you get fiber?
Sure is.
The pears?
Yeah, two
delicious
of them a day.
Pears are magical.
Are they? But better than your fiber thins?
Well, I mean,
Boo-boo biscuits.
Yeah.
Those are the goat. daddy cookies, if you will.
Daddy cookies.
Do you go with the family when you go like grocery shopping? Do you throw those into the basket and like?
No, actually, I have,
or do you have to go by yourself and get those.
I have them on an Amazon subscription, so they just show up once a month.
Oh, okay.
Along with my coffee.
I should have known better.
Have your kids ever thought they were delicious and hammered them home and you just watched them and laughed maniacally?
No, but if they are a little plugged up, which can happen with all the chicken tendies and, you know, Lunchables and cheese. One fiber thin. Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself, by the way, have you ever found yourself like going in the fridge and seeing the Lunchables? And just having one because you're kind of hungry?
No. That meat that they put in those is worse than bologna to
me. That circle, whatever that is.
I used to love the turkey ones. I used to love those turkey ones. But, I mean, they're pulling those off cafeteria shelves and stuff. They're saying, like, these shouldn't be allowed, dude.
Would you ever get that hungry?
Not even the crackers are real.
I'm like, I've sat there and watched them before. I'm like, how hungry am I?
I think they say you're better off eating the container that it comes in.
the plastic wrap. What were we thinking back in the day?
Oh,
seriously, what were we thinking?
Just doing science experiments and feeding them to the kids.
Let's just like cut a bunch of square cheese up.
They figured out a way to just like create crap that's not actually edible, but make it taste so good.
Yeah.
And then it's like so addictive. Boom. There you go.
That's why I'm curious about RFK taking over the health, because they're like, how could he possibly be in charge? I'm like, well, look what the people in charge have given us.
Right.
It is a cesspool of barely edible items.
But they taste so good.
I just wonder how desperate you have to be to eat one of those Lunchable things.
Well,
I mean, if you're hungry.
When's the last
time
you bought one? You walked in the store and bought one, like a 7-Eleven.
I walked by them.
You're usually crashing out at that moment.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Please tell me it hasn't
been
25 years. Elementary school.
Let me ask you, but Lucius, you tell me that the pickle in the jar next to the cash register is an edible thing?
Those things are fermented, man.
Yeah.
They live longer than us. I see. I walk by those. I'm like, no way. No way am I doing that. I am not. But I mean, how about those sandwiches, though? The sandwiches like at the 7-Eleven. You ever eat one of those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I think they've
upgraded. Been a long time.
I think they've upgraded them. Like the salami
bread can become a little stale, but if you catch one fresh, you're in good shape.
You have to kind of look at the date. You look at the date?
Okay. You do.
Those taquitos, though, I'll jump on them taquitos. It's on a little spinning thing. Oh, my God.
Have you ever stood in a gas station and took open one of the like bean burritos and heated it up in their microwave? That's a low point.
I tell you what, I've been to the point.
And they use the chili and cheese that they have in there. Just put a little extra on that.
Smothering it in their fake chili.
I promise I'm going to get to some football content here. But I've sat there. Have you ever just sat there and watched those things spin? You know, you're just so hammered that you're just like watching them
sweat.
You're watching them spin and you're thinking like, how many of those could I eat? You know,
too busy eating the ice cream sandwiches myself.
Oh, while you're standing there?
Yeah. Well, no, I've never microwaved anything in there. I figure that
they got the hot rolls.
You ain't got hungry enough.
You go in there and get a taquito.
I do.
Or like the buffalo chicken with the cheese stuffed in there. That'll tear you up.
You guys taught me that you go get the chili and the nacho cheese and put it on that thing.
It's free if you buy something.
Yeah, you get the hot dog or whatever, and then you just
do they give you a container to put it all together?
Yeah, you got a nice little container there.
That's cheese.
That was cheese.
I know. I knew exactly what it was. I was just thinking, he's not wrong, but I've never gone that route. Okay. Anyway, well, thank you guys for your thoughts on those. Yeah. Lunchables. Why? Okay, Chief, you asked me this question yesterday on Love of the Star.
Mm.
Should we be nervous about the cornerbacks on this club?
Yes. I don't think it's being talked about enough. I think the need for legit secondary pieces.
We aren't talking about it enough. You're right about that.
With the stat, I mean, and you can even take it all the way into the safety group.
Yeah.
And maybe you just run it back with Hooker and Wilson, because what else are you going to do? You have so many needs. Yeah. You have bodies there, technically. You see what happens with some young guys. But for the most part, at the corner spot, you have the dig situation. Bland's going to be in a contract year. Looks like you might be losing Jordan Lewis potentially. Mm-hmm. Kalen Carson gave you nothing in the way of confidence stepping into year two. Not to say that you're giving up on the kid, but expecting him to take a huge leap is probably a little bit unfair at this point. So, and those are premium positions, dude. Yeah. If you want Eberflus to have any chance defensively, I think the need for a pass rusher, defensive tackle, linebacker, and corner, you have it huge. But corner's a premium position.
Yeah, you know, that's why I just think as much as they talk about winning now, the smart thing would be to let it breathe one more year and try not to force it back into contention, because there are so many holes that I think you would just end up throwing money at a problem, and it wouldn't get much better. So, yeah, at least re-signing Jordan Lewis or signing a veteran and then drafting a guy in the first 2 days if you want to contend is what you got to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of hopeful that maybe all this – but I think pro personnel, I need to talk to my gang of seven about this before we get going in free agency. I don't see Jordan Lewis on many lists of, you know, top 50, 75 guys.
I noticed
guys.
That today. Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking like, all right, please don't. I guarantee there's guys around the league that are watching Cowboys tape and they're seeing Jordan Lewis and they're going, man, he's playing a lot better. He was a really good player in a bad defense through the first 8 weeks of the season. And maybe he's a guy that maybe it's not. I wonder if Jordan Lewis is going to take like the same amount of money and go somewhere else as opposed to sign here, the re-sign. If you know, maybe, you know, he's going to take maybe a lesser deal and just say, I just need to get out
of
here.
Doesn't want to be here anymore. I mean, you know, Dan Quinn knows him well, so yeah, that's an obvious connection.
I think that's an obvious connection.
Just the aspect of the nature of the position of the nickelback spot. Such a difficult position to find a legit player, and he's off his best year. So I think it's very real that teams will be coming after.
I will say this, though, too. I think keep an eye on Diggs' rehab, because that did not go very well last year.
Yeah, and you can't depend on Carson and Ori Warrior. Yeah. If you're there, I think you're waving the white flag already.
Dawson, yeah. Micah Parsons, Sam Williams, Marshawn Nealon. Do they have enough at defensive end?
I think they do, where you could get by with that as long as you stay healthy. Yeah. You know, maybe bring in a cheap veteran. What else do they have
Carl Lawson. I mean, do you try and get Carl Lawson back?
Yeah, I'd love to get Carl Lawson back at that price.
So if you threw Carl Lawson in there, you'd probably feel better about it. I will say this. I've looked at 25 edge rushers in this draft. I've looked at 125 players. 25 of them are edge rushers.
So that's a good thing.
And it just drafts. So
it's plentiful.
Yeah, it is. And it stretches pretty deep. So, but if you feel like that Parsons, Sam Williams, and Marshawn Nealon are enough, I mean, you could probably try and add, like I say, Carl Lawson, but also look at the draft and probably do some good there if you wanted to.
Yeah, because, I mean, of those guys, the only surefire rusher you have there is Micah Parsons. Sam Williams off an ACL. He wasn't overly dependable before he was off an injury. And Marshawn Nealon is not quite the pass rushing edge
that you
dream up when you're looking at two bookends there. And Matt Eberflus is not Mr. Aggressive. It's okay, I'll manufacture pressure with my schemes. Yeah. He wants to rush four. So Micah Parsons, welcome to the land of triple teams. He's familiar with it, but better get comfortable with it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, though, I don't feel like it's enough, but I do have confidence that they will find edge help throughout this draft.
I'd love to have more. I just think you have so many other needs.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, that's why if they only just wouldn't have done the DAC deal, and I don't want to hammer that home, but
no,
my gosh, what a different perspective this could all be. A little bit more big picture thinking. If you're in this weird gray area of you should be win now based on the quarterback receiver combo that you just paid, but you have needs in so many places that it's just far-fetched.
Yeah, you were on top of that one. You guys clearly were thinking the right way there. All right, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really trust any of these wide receivers behind CeeDee Lamb?
You're looking at Mingo and Tolbert and maybe Turpin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's another case of like the edge rushers, like you have some bodies there, but it's only Micah Parsons you really trust. Same thing with the receivers. You have some bodies. You're hopeful that maybe they can get a little bit more out of Mingo. I think in the run game, Mingo will actually be really helpful as a blocker.
Sure.
But we're talking about having legit pass catchers here, and outside of Lamb, no, there's no reason to really trust any of those guys.
Dawson. Yeah, you get a couple of plays a year out of those guys, you know, and you rejoice to the heavens when they do, because you don't know when that's going to happen again. Either free agency or draft, it's a must upgrade.
Yeah, I just don't like. I think to me, we did this exercise yesterday. I did it with Chief on Love of the Star, where you know, I picked the wide receiver Royals from Utah State in the third round, and that's a bigger body guy. They could play the X, kind of free up some stuff, allow you to. I'm not going to go into the season, and depending on what happens with maybe some free agency, maybe they get a guy, you know, that they like, that they sign inexpensive, and then draft a guy. But I'm not going to go in there and say, oh, well, hey, Jalen Tolbert, he's due for a great year and stuff. I've kind of given up on that. I've given up on Tolbert. I've given up on Brooks. I mean, Flournoy, they've got to get better. They've got to get better. They just Turpin. We'll see what happens with Mingo, but they're going to have to address this thing in free agency, or they're going to have to address it in the draft. And I think there's some players in the draft that can absolutely help them with that address.
But when you compare the two of, like, say, corners and wide receivers, you have more just healthy bodies
at wide receiver
right now
than you do at corner.
But
no, you're absolutely right.
You were talking more, but right. I hear fans and people talking more about the need for the receiver, which is certainly there, but goodness gracious, man.
You brought it up.
You have nothing at corner.
No, you brought it up, and you're absolutely right. Corner needs something that needs to be addressed here for sure.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner Every Day 340 brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Hockey time in North America. What you need to know about this epic showdown we have tonight for you here. The play-by-play at 7 o'clock this evening, immediately following the show. And we're back to talk about the matchup here in the G-Bag Nation.